Chapter 10. Black Demonism. The mentality brings forth all thought images, good images when it has received the seeds from God, unholy images when they have originated from one of the demons. For there is no place in the world where there are no demons, that is, demons that lack the light of God. They penetrate into man and sow in him the seeds of their own activities. The mentality is then impregnated with adultery, murder, ungracious treatment of parents, sacrilegious acts, impious deeds, suicide by hanging or casting oneself down from a cliff, and a variety of other things which are the work of demons. As far as the seeds of God are concerned, they are few in number but great and fair and good. They are called virtue, moderation, and piety. Piety is gnosis, the knowledge that is of and with God. He who has this knowledge is filled with all that is good and receives his thoughts, which differ entirely from those of the masses, from God. Hence it is that those who walk in the gnosis are not pleasing to the masses, and on the other hand, the masses are not pleasing to them. They are considered foolish, they are the target of ridicule and mockery, and they are hated and despised, and sometimes even put to death, because, as I said before, evil must necessarily dwell here, as it originated here. Thus, its domain is the earth, and not the world, as some blasphemously maintain. As we saw in previous chapters, the nature-born human being is open to two different spheres of astral influence, that of the earth and that of the world. When you reflect on Hermetic philosophy, you should always bear in mind that a distinction is made between the earth and the world. The earth is our life field, or, more precisely, the small part of the world we inhabit. The world is the holy planet, the unassailable manifestation of God's universal plan. That is why verse 11 says, "Evil must necessarily dwell here as it originated here." Thus, its domain is the earth and not the world, as some blasphemously so. As nature-born human beings, we are of the earth, earthly. As microcosms, we are of the world. So it is logical that there are two astral spheres of influence which, at least for the time being, present us with problems it is hardly possible to solve. Hence, Paul's cry uttered in the crisis brought about by these problems. So I find this law within me. When I would do good, evil is present with me. O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? From time to time, you too will have sent this lament out into the void, in all possible variations, because of the fact that you are affected by two influences, by the good as well as the demonic astral forces. Let us assume for the moment that, driven and purified by ruin and disgrace, you finally wish to find a solution. The first thing you will need to know is the law Paul refers to. When we want to do good, evil is with us. Let us try to understand the background to all this. What is a demon? A demon is nothing but a natural force. Ancient wisdom states that before a life wave can be generated, demons are created. This may sound strange, but in fact it is quite logical. Every manifestation originates in an astral field. This is because ethers emanate from the various astral fires, and these ethers form themselves into manifestations in cooperation with material atoms. Therefore, the idea underlying a manifestation must first be etched into an astral field. As soon as this happens, activities, foci, and vortices of forces come into being. These then begin to develop. The demon of the beginning begins its work. These forces of nature, or demons, in the original meaning of the term, impart a certain character to the manifesting idea. They realize and concretize the plan, and that is how the plan began to call human entities into being on Earth. And note, we are using the word Earth. It was a very delicate matter, since these human entities would have to be equipped with their own cognitive faculty. This faculty should not be seen simply as an intellectual apparatus, but also, and more importantly, as an ability to comprehend the nature and aims of God. That is why the cognitive faculty includes mind and reason. Reason, divine reason, makes use of the mind. And the entities who were called into existence were intended to become, in certain respects, like the Father. And as we said before, the time came when this hazardous plan was set in motion on earth. The earth is the divine world's great and perfect field of manifestation. According to Hermetic philosophy, the earth is a field of birth in which man must spend his embryonic phase. Our situation and that of our fellow creatures on earth is that we have not yet passed beyond the embryonic phase. That is why Jesus the Lord said, "I came to you on earth to cause you to ascend into the highest heaven of God's wide, glorious world." Many, countless numbers, have already preceded you on this path, as those who have been truly born, as those who have been genuinely liberated, they have entered the holy, divine world. But you are still wandering in the embryonic field. It is as if you are imprisoned there. This is caused by the still negative effects of your innate divine nature. Your divine nature, your divine faculty, the divine attribute, is the mighty cognitive faculty, with the help of which you will one day be able to become truly man and truly God. Something of that flame is beginning to glimmer within you, and that is why you have been and still are being confronted by enormous difficulties. For those who are in the process of becoming true human beings can only be redeemed from the earth when this true human state has genuinely emerged within them. They are, thanks be to God, equipped with the divine cognitive faculty, albeit still in an embryonic state. This means, firstly, that they possess an astral body. Secondly, they have access, via the astral body, to the astral sphere of the earth. Thirdly, there is a constant interchange between them and the astral sphere of the earth, with its natural forces, its demons. Moreover, they exercise an influence on the astral sphere, its nature and quality, by means of the faintly glimmering flame of their cognitive faculty. See this situation clearly in your mind's eye, for it constitutes the drama of your life. In the astral field, in the astral fire, the ideas of human beings are etched. And since thoughts are active forces, vortices arise in the astral substance from which processes of realization develop. Creation. You have access to this very special astral field, and that is what is so tragic, for it is precisely because of that that you prevent your awakening from the embryonic state. For you are and have always been engaged in populating the astral sphere of the earth with all kinds of natural forces, with all kinds of demons, and it is in the nature of these demons, myriad of form and construction, and active in a variety of spheres, to influence the ethers and the forms they manifest. In this way, a fathomless, orderless chaos and degeneration has come into being in our earthly field of life. In this way, animal men have come into existence, bound to their passions, afflicted by their self-created demons, all those animal human beings swarming over each other like ants on an anthill. They kick and bite, they damage and violate each other, and from time to time, various demonic forces assert themselves in a very pronounced way, as is the case today, for instance, with the current wave of counternatural sexuality with which the world is inundated. That is how it has always been in history. Whenever a civilization is perishing, whenever the earth is about to succumb to a cosmic night, the most ghastly demons rise out of the sewers of the astral field of fallen dialectics, and the fiery flame of counternatural sexuality erupts over mankind. Counternatural sexual practices are one issue, promiscuity is quite another. Sexual energy is a creative force, one of the divine faculties with which mankind is equipped. The true destiny of this force, as it exists in the embryonic field, was to have been the development into the genuine divine creative faculty, which is related to the throat chakra. So you can imagine that promiscuity is detrimental, in the first place, to the idea underlying sexuality. And as we said before, people kick and bite, they damage and violate each other. And above all that noise and swell, above that cacophony of misery, the cry of distress of seeking man reverberates. O unhappy man that I am, who will save me from the body of this death? We live in a field of Genesis in which the original pure demons, the original pure fiery astral forces, still go on performing their task. However, through the misuse of astral forces, of which all dialectical mankind is guilty, there comes a point when the Earth's astral sphere becomes so dark, so full of devilishness, so laden with absurdity and depravity, and the material field of life degenerates into a region of so much blood and tears that it can no longer be tolerated. For what develops in the astral sphere must manifest itself on Earth. And when you become involved with a particular astral force, this has to manifest itself in your life and in your body. The result is that in the end, the Earth, the creation field of the world, has to be thoroughly purified, right from the astral sphere to the material sphere. All microcosms present in it are then emptied of their uncleanliness and brought into a state of forgetfulness. All microcosms are divested of their karma. They have to begin anew, for the Logos does not forsake the works of his hands. In this way, the original embryonic processes of Genesis can take place again, right from the beginning. How much time can be lost in this way? But nevertheless, thanks be to God, each new microcosmic reanimation represents a new opportunity for the entity concerned. See the situation clearly before you. What is your reality? As we explained, you are subject to two astral spheres of influence, that of the original pure astral sphere and that of the demonism of dialectics. You therefore find this law in you. When I want to do good, evil is near me. Since owing to my birth in nature, owing to my past, owing to my entire dialectical state, I am bound to all the filth of the Earth's astral sphere. You are a pupil of the spiritual school. You participate in the spiritual school, as a result of which the original call, the original power, still maintains a link with you. But how long will it last under the scourge of demonism? At the very moment I want to do good, evil is near me. Naturally, because all the hordes of astral demons are your companions of fate, you brought them to life and therefore you participate in them, be it intimately or from a certain distance. So, there is the one but also the other. How terrible. Hence the cry, O unhappy man that I am, who will save me from this death, from this most dreadful misery? Must I, too, sink once more into the chaos of a cosmic night through which the embryonic field of the Earth will be cleansed? And Hermes laments, The demons penetrate into man and sow in him the seeds of their own activities. The mentality is then impregnated with adultery, murder, ungracious treatment of parents, sacrilegious acts, impious deeds, suicide by hanging or casting oneself down from a cliff, and a variety of other things which are the work of demons. We could add all sorts of things to this list without it ever being complete. And we ask you, does it have to be that way for you who, honestly speaking, have fled into the spiritual school as a refuge from your demons? Is there no solution? Yes, there is. But then you will need to take yourself very firmly in hand. The school has pointed out to you the existence of that solution on many occasions. But have you listened carefully enough? The way, the path, is shown you word by word, as it were, day in and day out. But isn't it so that all this instruction, all this good advice and helping influence sent out continually by the school goes in one ear and out the other? In this way, the demons, who have such a great influence on you, are able systematically to destroy or render negative the seed of the good which has been sown in you. However, as long as you are still alive, there is hope, and you can begin every day anew. But then, begin anew now. And place yourself objectively and resolutely before the mighty problem of your life, as if you had never studied it before. And then you may strengthen yourself in the knowledge of which Hermes speaks in verse 12. But he who loves and is devoted to God will endure all things because he participates in the gnosis. To such a person, all things work together for the good, even those things that are evil to others. And when ambushes are laid against him, he conveys everything as a sacrifice to the gnosis, and he alone transforms evil into the good. So you are able to transform completely your relationship to the astral sphere. In principle, you are capable of neutralizing and reversing your entire astral condition. You can restore yourself to the pure embryonic state and re-establish your connection with the demon of the beginning. You can be reborn as a true man in the divine world. In view of your present situation, this may sound like a fairy tale, a miracle, but we are permitted to unveil this wonder for you. However, we must add that you will need to apply to the letter the formula the school will give you. If you feel a leany pain somewhere, you generally run straight to the doctor and follow faithfully the prescription he gives you. So why don't you do this with respect to the most important problem of your existence? As a dialectical human being, you have never been so beset with difficulties as you are now. The human life wave has never been so seriously sick and degenerate as it is at this moment. So if, yet again, we give you a pupil of the Gnostic spiritual school, the prescription of the path that leads to life, will you follow its requirements faithfully?